Please turn with me to the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 37. I want to look this morning at faith in the valley of dry bones, and this evening at hope in the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel was a 6th century prophet during the time of the last Judah kings and the exile into Babylon. He himself was an exile. He himself knew what the people experienced. He gave many prophecies. And his prophecies here in this book are dated from 4 to 5 years after the exile, and they stretch on for 22 years. Many of them are very explicitly dated by events in the text. Ezekiel's name, it means God strengthens, and that is what God did through him for his people who were in exile, who were deeply discouraged, who were struggling immensely. And the book of Ezekiel is a mixture of judgment and grace. The first 24 chapters are all about God's judgment. And they foretell what was going to come, the siege and destruction of Jerusalem. We spoke fairly recently when we looked at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, briefly of the last king of Judah, Zedekiah. He was a very foolish king, and his own foolish, rebellious actions led to the destruction of Jerusalem, destruction of the temple. And the people who were in exile were even more cast down. It was enough that many of the nation were far off in Babylon. Then the news comes from home that Jerusalem is destroyed and the temple, the great temple, is broken down. These were terrible times. But God's judgment on his people was absolutely righteous. They'd rebelled against him. They'd wandered far from him. They'd forgotten him. So the first 24 chapters are about his judgment on his own people. But then there are 24 to 33 chapters about judgment on other surrounding nations. It's not just his own people that God judged. He judged the wicked heathen all around. But then in chapter 33 and onwards, the book changes. After judgment comes a promise of restoration. After judgment comes the great grace of God. Life, not death. The Holy Spirit poured out, the temple to be rebuilt, and ultimately a king to reign once again, a king like no other king. Of course, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the King of Kings, who will reign forever and ever on the throne of his father David, making atonement for his people's sin, dying at Calvary's cross. We know these things, but these are the things that are contained in the prophecy of Ezekiel. And we come here to chapter 37, probably the best known, the first part of this chapter, the best known passage in the book of Ezekiel. We put it in context. We all, I'm sure, have heard about the Valley of Dry Bones. But if we look at what God has said before in the previous chapter, he's made some very specific spiritual promises. Chapter 36 and verse 25 and on. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. What a promise. But this is the context of the vision. God has said what he is going to do for his people. God promises a great spiritual restoration. Yes, he promises a restoration to the land as well, and we know that that, of course, happened. He promises the rebuilding of the temple. We know that that happened. Well, here is a vision in chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. You think, well, where is this? It's a vision. The where is not important. It's a valley. Ezekiel is having a vision. It's not in a specific place, we don't believe, but it is a vision to teach an important lesson. Of course, this is a very famous, well-known passage, and there are very few people who don't know the African-American spiritual song, Dem Bones, Dem Bones, Dem Dry Bones. It comes from here, and many people will know that, and it's something of a surprise when they open the Bible and they see, well, it came from the Bible. It shouldn't be that surprising, because you know the words, hear the word of the Lord. That's very much part of the song. Well, here it is, the valley of dry bones. I want to speak this morning just from verses 1 to 3. I want to look at the faith of Ezekiel. It's Ezekiel's response to the Lord God that really grabbed me, that is our motto text for this year. I want you to observe with me three things this morning. I hope they will help you and encourage you. I hope they will help and encourage us, and indeed this evening's message also. We live in desperate days. We live in difficult days. The gospel in so many places is in grave decline. Now, it's not true in every place, but in our own context, in our Western world, there is great godlessness. There is great declension. There is great decline. There is, even among those who profess to be God's people, a profound disinterest in the things of God. Why, how many professing Christian believers? Last Sunday they were not in the house of God. They were not worshipping the Lord. They were just observing Christmas Day. Nothing wrong with observing Christmas Day. You can do what you like. But the church of God meets. And people, now there are reasons why people cannot meet. There are issues and problems. But there are churches that don't even have a service. Just cancel it. We say, what kind of world do we live in when even people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ say, well, the gathering of the church doesn't matter. This is the kind of day we're in. Don't want to go on about things like that. It makes you sound very curmudgeonly and miserable. This is the kind of day we're in. Even people who profess to follow Jesus Christ really don't care. Prayer meetings are empty. Nobody has any great desire for anything but the here and now. What I'm going to do this year, where I'm going to go on holiday, how much money is in my bank, all that kind of thing. But generally speaking, in society, no interest in the things of God. An incredible ignorance of the things of God. You ask anybody under the age of 40 virtually anything about the Bible, they know nothing. You can ask, I estimate 90% of people in this country under the age of 40 or even 50 could not satisfactorily answer the question, who was Jesus Christ? Or who is Jesus Christ? You couldn't answer it. They couldn't answer these basic questions. They don't know. There is such ignorance. We feel our need. We look at our own church and our own circumstances. We feel our lack of power, our lack of strength, our lack of ability. We feel it very greatly, very keenly. Some of us feel it more than others. For some of us, it is more of a burden than it is for others. And then we think about our own lives and all our concerns and burdens, health and strength and family and work. So many things that aren't right. So many things putting pressure on us. So many things taking out of our lives any margin for rest or health. So many things, thoughts that assail us the moment we wake up in the morning, thoughts that keep us awake when we put our heads on the pillow at night. So many things pressing in on us. So many things. So many problems. Ezekiel's time was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Jerusalem was wrecked. Absolutely wrecked. The people were exiled. It seemed completely hopeless. What was needed? A miracle. A miracle. And this is precisely what the Valley of Dry Bones pictures very clearly. Three things. They all begin with V. In fact, they all begin with very. Very dry. That's our first heading. He caused me to pass them all around, verse 2, and behold, there were many in the open valley, very many, and they were very dry. The bones in the valley, very many and very dry. What a sight. What a horrible sight. It's an expression of overwhelming odds. Just hopelessness, death, desolation. Former armies just laying dead. Formerly strong men no longer there. The bones bleached white by the sun, picked bare by the vultures. Not a scrap of flesh on any of them. They're not dead bodies. It's just a valley of dry bones. How far along the spectrum of hopefulness to no hopefulness can you get? It's as far off one end as you can go. It's utterly impossible situation. What on earth can be done? Behold, there were very many, and indeed, they were very dry. Israel was very dry. You don't have to do very much thinking to realize. The UK is very dry. Is our church very dry? What about your life? Is that very dry? It may even be that you come here this morning and you're not even a Christian believer. You're not saved. You haven't trusted in Christ as your Savior. You haven't repented of your sin. You haven't believed on Him. Well, in that case, what's your situation? Well, it's the valley of dry bones. The Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sins without Christ. And it's impossible to sort something out when you're dead because you're dead. What can the dry bones do about their situation? Well, nothing. It's just a collection of dry bones. Lord, I was dead. I could not stir my lifeless soul to come to Thee. But it's the Lord who brings life. It's the Lord who brings it. Is it not all impossible? Where to begin sorting it all out? Where to begin in my own life? I don't know how to approach God. I don't know how. I can't save myself. I can't stop sinning. I can't make myself right with God. Where to begin in the church? When there is so few and there's so little zeal and so little concern. Where to begin in a nation where there is such ignorance and apathy and hostility? Where to begin? It's not just very dry. There's something here that's very difficult. You say, well, that's the same point, isn't it? No, not quite. God asks the question. Verse 3, He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? That's very difficult. What do I mean? I mean that God asks a shocking question, a ridiculously difficult question. What do you say to that? Very difficult. Son of man, can these bones live? Well, obviously, the answer is no, isn't it? Humanly speaking, logically speaking, the answer is no. They cannot. The dead cannot live. It's hopeless. Is it tempting to say the same thing when you look out on 2017 and you look back at 2016 and you think of the things that you hope for and the hopes that have come to nothing? Or you think of the people that you've prayed for and they're still unsaved? The lives that you've longed to see change are still in a mess? The change you long to see in your own life still unmade? Very tempting. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Time to give up. Time to go home. I want to go home from the Valley of Dry Bones and shut the door and sit in an armchair by the fire and occupy myself with something diverting and pleasurable, and I don't want to think about this desperate situation anymore. Lord God, why on earth have you brought me here into the middle of a valley of dry bones? Why am I here? Why are you asking me? Why is this my situation? Why is this my problem, if you like? It's a very difficult question. It's also very dry, very desperate, and very difficult. But there's a third very. It's verity. Verity. That is truth. I answered, O Lord God, you know. Ezekiel's answer, full of faith, full of confidence, full of humility though, no assumption, but trust in God. No telling God how it ought to be. No telling God what ought to be done or how it ought to be done or anything like that. But he says, O Lord God, you know. What else can he say? The one true and living God, you know. What is at stake here? In Ezekiel's context, why it's the resuscitation of a nation. I know that rhymes. The resuscitation of a nation. And that's what's needed. A miracle. Now we have the benefit of hindsight. We know that in one sense the very simple answer to the question is, yes, Lord. But there's so much we learn from Ezekiel's reply. This faith in the valley of dry bones. In a desperate situation, in a hopeless place. Oh Lord God, you know. The most vital point is this. The question really isn't, can they live? The question that occurs to us, as God asks us the same question, in our day, in our generation, when we look around us, we see dryness within us, Dryness in the church, dryness in the community, dryness in the country, and we say, what on earth is to be done? And the Lord says, can these dry bones live? What occurs to us? What are we thinking? It's not, can they live? Because we know in theory, don't we? How God can do anything. What can God do? He can do all his perfect will. Basic catechism question. We know that. It's in our heads. The question is, how? How can they live? And that is where faith must truly be exercised. Oh, Lord God, you know. The answer is yes, but you know. You know all about it. You know how to deal with it. And in fact, more than that, you know everything. You have everything in place. You are going to do all that you are going to do. But what do you look to the Lord in 2017? You say, well, so many things in this new year I'm looking to God for. Ultimately, we seek life from death. We long to see revival and renewal. Lives changed. Those who are the enemies of God become his friends. Those who profess to love him, warmed up, revived, restored. Ourselves, too. Why, it's so easy to be depressed and down. Life is hard. I don't have to tell you. We experience it together. Brothers and sisters, we know life is hard. And sometimes it seems impossibly hard. Sometimes you don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Sometimes you don't want to come to church for sure. It's just easier to stay at home. It's so easy to get depressed and down. Our circumstance is so very hard. But we turn to the Lord. Acknowledge the dryness. Acknowledge the desperate situation. Say, oh Lord God, you know not only how this can all be done, not only how this can all be put right, but you know all things. We face the unknown with a God who knows. He knows, whose plans and provision are perfect. Friends, my prayer is that we may take this verse into the new year. It is Ezekiel's humble, trusting faith. Yes, very dry. Question very difficult. But his answer is verity, it is truth. Oh, Lord God, you know. You know. May his faith be ours. Lord, I do not know, but you know. Now, there's an extent to which we do know. How are things put right? How can life come from death? Because Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came from eternity into time, was born of Mary, lived a perfect life, went to Calvary's cross, and there he died. There he died. There he entered the grave. There, representing us, he died our death. On the cross, he bore our punishment. For a fallen and broken world, the Creator died. Hands that flung stars into space stretched upon a cross of wood. and he rose from the dead. Why do you think we meet on a Sunday? He rose. He lives. He lives forever. Why, Job, in all his sorrows, in all his struggles, in all his difficulty, what is his greatest hope, his highest hope? I know that my Redeemer lives. And that he will stand in the latter day upon the earth. I will see him. I will see him. He lives. I shall live. Christ lives. Christ has defeated death. All things are at his feet. Yes. Even a vast valley of dry, sun-bleached bones where there is no hope. And you know, it's not as if there is no hope, is there? It's not as if we can say that we're in such a desperate situation, quite, as the valley of dry bones. Why, God encourages us in various ways. He shows us in different ways, in the news we receive from others, in the things we see in our own lives, in our own church, in answers to prayer, in people coming to new life in Christ, in baptisms, in so many things. He shows us, I am still at work. So we think, oh, it's all dry bones. Well, it isn't actually. Now, of course, in a general sense, it is. But we have so many encouragements too, by the way. What do we have to fear? Oh, Lord God, you know. At Calvary, through Christ, sin has been atoned for. Rising from the tomb, death has been defeated. Whatever you face, whatever we face, he asks the question, can these bones live? Be content to say, oh Lord God, you know. And I don't have all the answers, but you do. And I don't have the ability, but you do. And I don't have the power, but you do. And I don't have a compelling story to tell, but your message is compelling, and the gospel is the power of salvation unto all who believe. I know that. You know. You know everything I will face, everything I have faced. You know all that I have experienced. You have lived in this world of tears. Oh Lord God, you know. When he asks, and he does, and he will, it may be as if the Lord asks us the question every day when we open our eyes. A day like today, you open your eyes and you can not see the sun, and it's raining, and it's miserable. And in the words of a popular song, it may not just be raining outside, it may be raining in your heart. The question is always the same. Can these bones live? May God enable us that we may have such faith and such trust and such confidence that each day we may be able to get up and come to him, commit all to him, and say, oh Lord God, you know. You know. faith in the valley of dry bones. May the Lord grant it to each of us. Amen.
Amen.